Good afternoon, ladies and gentlemen. Stu Weber at StuWeb.com, and it is September the 9th, 2020. And I have the honor to have Professor Paul on with me and Jeff and professional, without getting into the business he's in. But I also want to say to Paul, happy birthday, Paul. Yesterday was your birthday. Or two days ago.
But thank you. Yes, I'm older. I'm not just old, Stu. I'm older.
Older. Yeah, well, I'm 66. I'm a couple years older than what you are, or three or something, but whatever it is. I'll tell you, it's not fun getting old. I'm starting to feel it, especially in the neck and the back from those car crashes. But anyway, with that said, I'm going to let you take it for a minute, because there's quite a few things I know that you want to discuss and bring it out. And then, Jeff, you can jump in on each one of them, and we'll just have a roundtable discussion here.
Sounds good. Thank you. Thanks, Stu. What I want to start off with is weather warfare, and basically weather warfare as it relates to environmental false flags. And then I want to morph into vaccines and the chip, or the chipper, as some have called it. What's happening in California is nothing short of weather warfare. And it's being presented as climate change. Well, yes, the climate is changing, but it's changing because the U.S. military, Department of Defense, the global deep state, and that includes China and Russia and Israel and Iran and everybody else, they're all in it together, Psalm 2. The leaders, the rulers, the kings, they conspire. And what's being done out west is weather warfare. Those fires are intentional, and the response is criminal. So while the west is burning, South Dakota gets a foot of snow at Mount Rushmore, the Black Hills, and then in the great north, so to speak, the Twin Cities area, it's raining now, heavy, 44 degrees. And I think further south, I think you guys are almost in the same weather pattern. And I've learned recently that the cold front stretches all the way down to the Gulf of Mexico. And it is September the 9th, and anyone that can get on the news and present the weather as it's Mother Nature, as it's natural, I think is a paid shill. And I've had those meteorology courses. I have some science courses by background, and that they can even present this as anything beyond solar radiation management, chemical ice nucleation, stratospheric aerosol injections. It's all of those things. I mean, pick your phrase. The one phrase that will get you dismissed, however, is to call it chemical trails. And there's been 70 years, maybe a few more than 70 years of research that applies to weather warfare. And there are literally thousands of patents. And they've been at it for a long time. I didn't really notice it in the Twin Cities until about 2008. And I was in Denver for about 10 years. And I really didn't notice a real pronounced effort in Colorado until about 2010, 2012. 2014, it was even still okay. By 2015, it was just absolutely 25 planes, morning, noon, night, just absolutely spraying the population there. So anyway, just to add to my initial statement, in Israel, right now, the two rivers that feed Israel and the water levels for the reservoirs and so on are at all-time highs, or at least 30-year highs, and who knows what the data was from 30 years ago. And so you've got that supposedly is good news in Israel, but weather warfare is not good news in very many places. So I defer to you guys. I'd like you guys to comment what you're seeing, what you're thinking on weather warfare, and then we can move to other topics.
I mean, Jeff, go ahead.
Oh, yeah. Paul, what do you think about, you know, one time we heard about, you know, HAARP being kind of the lead edge on what we would see with weather warfare, in the sense that they could take microwave energy, place it over a hurricane, and in a sense draw a hurricane, heat up the core and pull it towards the coast. What do you know about, besides just HAARP? I think there's more than just one, if I'm not mistaken.
They have so many tools. The number of tools, the number of methods, the science and technology that they have to engineer, steer the weather it stops me in my tracks. Stu, you know a lot about this too.
Yeah, I do. HAARP, the High Aurora Project, I think is what it's known as, HAARP or HAARP or something like that.
Yes.
You can look it up on the internet. Up where the Alaskan pipeline is on that property, Robert O. Anderson of Arco Oil at the time, that was a cutout in front for Daddy Bush and my ex-father-in-law, Leonard Millman of Denver, one of the 12 disciples of Satan. They had stolen the original oil lease from the Chicago. I mean, there was a big collapse of the bank back in 1975 or 77 in Chicago. It was First Bank of Chicago or something like that. And it had a hell of a lot of loans tied to that oil lease. And they ended up, now this was in 70. I'm not sure what year. It was early 70s that they did this. But they busted the bank. Later on, it was early 70s, they busted the bank. But they ended up keeping the oil lease was the key. And it ended up in Arco's hands that started on the drilling, and now it's in BP's hands, British Petroleum. And if you remember back in the 1970s, we were supposed to get all this oil from Alaska. It was going to come to America. None of it does, folks. All that goes overseas except for shipments down to a refinery in California that was owned by Leonard Millman. And they're stealing oil. But they set up six corporations in the front end of British Petroleum up there, which now owns it, reportedly. They set up six corporations, and the 12 disciples of Satan, two of them are on each corporation. Daddy Bush and Leonard Millman are on one of them that draw. They get about 10% of the oil off the first thing, check-wise, top. They get 10% off the top of all that oil. Now, that oil is supposed to come to America, and the taxpayers paid for the pipeline. It never happened. But what they did is they installed HAARP up there. This is alien technology they put on there. Why? Because they could control the weather. They could control the jet stream, and they did it. And they were able to do it. They set up a couple HAARP towers, a couple of these transmitting towers, I understand, one's down in Texas, one in Florida, etc. But they're able to move this jet stream. And I saw it the first time in 2006 when Otis Johnson called me, super spook that was NSA, that lived up there in Hastings, Nebraska, laying low, would do his computer work at night, daytime, on the NSA, one of the think tank boys, he was, a super spook, that kept national security safe. He'd render his opinion. He could even start war. As an example, when they shot down that French airliner, I got a call from somebody said, Stu, they're sending in the USS De Gaulle, a French aircraft carrier with torpedo missiles on it, nuclear tipped missiles, and they're going to blow an alien base to shot down that French airliner. I thought, what? I get the call back next morning. Oh, they destroyed 150 alien saucers underwater out there in the ocean. I said, what? So I called Otis. I said, is there any truth to that? And he said, well, yeah. He says, actually, there is. And yes, they did shoot an underwater ocean alien base, except they only got about 10 of their saucers. And he says, Otis says, by the way, Stu, he says, yes, it's true. They're telling you the truth. Because he says, I sent the USS so-and-so in behind it and accompanied it, the aircraft carrier, and he says, I didn't even call and wake up Barack Obama. It was on my order. It got done. So this guy was hooked. He told me everything about HARP, called me in 2006 and said, Stoke, they moved the jet stream for the first time. I said, what are you talking about? He said, they pulled it off. He said, do you see all that crop frozen in April, all over Oklahoma, northern Texas, all this? It froze trees, bushes, killed a hell of a lot of crop and the whole bit. I said, what'd they do it for? He says, oh, they're going to be doing this to manipulate the weather now. He says, watch the jet stream. They're going to wait about 2 days before they move it back up so it doesn't cause too much weather disturbance. Well, they moved it back. And since then, they're using it as a weapon. I also was told by Otis and others, I refer to Otis because, you know, he's dead now. They murdered him. I got rid of General Flynn. The whole bit. There was the point. He says, as long as there's an active volcano on the planet, they have all the energy they need for their heart to crank it up. He says, eventually, they're going to be shooting a death ray out of it. I said, what? He says, oh, yeah, the death ray that brought down 911 towers. I said, yeah. He said, they're going to be using it. They've almost got it developed, and they're going to be using it as a death ray. They'll use it as a weapon against the people. They can just zap somebody and they disappear. They aren't even hardly any dust on the ground. Just zaps them. I said, when are they going to start that shit? And he says, very soon. They've got the technology and they'll have it developed. Now, that was around 2006 when they did this. You can see how far they are now. Now, they can move that jet stream and that's what they do. You can tell because the storms from it, it causes chaos. They drag it all the way down like it's running over California right now, has been for the past few days, causing all the fires and all the other stuff, and it swings right over Arizona, comes across to the Gulf, picks up the moisture out of Texas around that area and pulls it upstream, and that's how they did it, a U-shaped jet stream. I see it all the time going on. They're always pulling this crap. But one of the things it does, it causes chaos as far as storms. And one of the things you can tell that it is a HARP storm is that it turns counterclockwise. Have you ever seen these storms moving across the Midwest, across where you guys live? You're north of me a little bit here. It moves across the United States, but it'll turn around and rotate backwards. All of a sudden, you get some storm coming back from the northeast, as an example. It'd be coming around, wrapping around the tail end of it. That's a HARP storm. Now, they've done this for years. And since 2006 with moving the jet stream, I believe they probably have the death ray hooked into it by now. But we also have to look at the chemtrail side of things. They've been seeding the clouds since the 1960s in America for various reasons. And one of the things they're doing is not seeding for purposes of rain anymore. They're actually spraying, because I had a U.S. Air Force pilot in secret do a radio show with me with Dr. William Croft, and he brought him forth, a friend of his, and he talked about what they were spraying. They were spraying all these different metals on us, barium, all kinds of stuff, aluminum. Everything.
And this Stronium, stuff is aluminum.
So, yep. Go ahead, Paul.
Well,
here's the thing. They're so small in particle that it floats to 40,000 feet in the air, folks. You're breathing this in all the time. Now, I saw on KCTV5.com, local station here in Kansas City, I remember a reporter's name, Ellen McNamara, reports, shows a picture of a COVID victim, not the autopsy, but an x-ray, how their brain had shrunk and how their lungs were full of some kind of metal, she said. I went to pull the picture and couldn't find a picture on the damn website. I wanted that picture so bad because it reflected what they have done to the lungs. Now, I've had on nurses, others. They have brought stuff forward of doctors and all of them talking about all the stuff relating to 5G. Now, this one nurse was having double periods, folks, for nearly 10 months. Two periods per month, she's gone back to a normal 28-day cycle. But her brain began to shrink. She had blood coming out of her ear before they buried the cables of 5G in the ground into the street. 100 women in Bakersfield, California, were having two periods a month as a result of the 5G. Now, that 5G, my understanding from super spook experts, all this chemtrails and all the others, we're now going to be affected with 5G because we've got this crap in our lungs. They'll be able to manipulate people. They'll be able to kill people. They'll be able to do all kinds of stuff. And this is one wicked mess that we're going to have to put a stop to. Now, I know the heart control box is by the United States Air Force, and it's in Colorado Springs underneath the Air Force base. Originally, they were going to put it out there by the Denver International Airport until I exposed their underground buildings, and they decided not to put it there. They put it down there in Colorado Springs where it's headquartered.
You covered a lot of territory, Stu. I want to deviate from our plan script just briefly. There's a lot of activity right now currently and has been for the last 48 hours around Richfield, Utah. And I am thinking you might be familiar with that area because it is the place where the underground trains and tunnels and cities are constructed, and the kind of the gateway to Los Angeles from New York. What do you know about all of the air traffic and all of the busyness around Richfield, Utah, over the last 40 years?
Well, I know this, that, you know, back in the 1995. I'm driving to Las Vegas, Nevada, from Denver, Colorado, and I'm going across I-70. And I'm hauling butt. I was in a new Pontiac, a little 94 I'd bought, and a whole bit. I'm hauling ass across the freeway. Nothing was around. Going up and down the hills over there in the Richfield area, there's a huge natural park over there, the whole bit. I'm cruising towards Richfield, which Richfield is just about an hour or less where I-70 ends and hits I-95, I believe it runs north and south there in Utah, or I-25, no, it's I-95. Anyway, Richfield is just before I-70 ends in Utah. And what I'm doing, I'm cruising along over there, and all of a sudden, wham, I'm doing about 85, 90 miles an hour, and I come up over this hill, and all of a sudden I'm being blasted that look like cop lights. Here's this red reflective crap hitting all over my windshield. And man, all I can do is watch that speedometer of the road and drop that baby down under the speed limit. And that's what I did. And I come cruising up over another hill and another hill. And all of a sudden I look off to the right and I see a boring machine. They're U.S. Air Force boring machines coming out of the side of a damn mountain. I said, son of a bitch. It scared me. I thought, I'm out of here. Now, I noticed a lot of traffic in Richfield on the way back, trucks hauling a lot of gravel. So I go back up. I intentionally marked the spot because there was a rest place, restroom stop on the freeway near there. So I came back past it, crossed the freeway illegally, went back because I wanted to see what the hell they had done. Right there near the rest stop, there wasn't any hole in the mountain any longer. There was a gravel road out there, but they built a damn wall on that and a door where you couldn't see it. Now, years later, I mentioned it to Otis Johnson, and I mentioned about them cutting a hole. He said, well, I didn't know they did one down there. But he had been out to Blackdale, Utah, the secret NSA base, and he went there more than once. It's in a recording of a conversation on the radio bar, Stu Webb, Otis Johnson. He mentions going to Bluffdale. I had put him on an Air Force or an airplane in Grand Island, where he met a general, and the general flew him out there, and he came back and he said, "Stu, they got 6 floors below ground of artificial or beyond computers," is what he called them. But he says, "You're right." He says, "They built an alien base on the south side that runs all the way to Richfield, Utah." So, folks, there's an alien base out there now. And guess what's in this, in the southeast corner where I-70 ends? A 10-acre fenced, barbed-wired FEMA concentration camp. I said, "What the hell are they putting that out there for?" He says, "Because when they start picking people up under FEMA," he said, "they're going to feed them to the aliens." I said, "No shit. They need the blood. They need 1 million people a year." And that's what they pushed on Eisenhower. "We want to kidnap 1 million people a year." That's what happens. A lot of people, folks, they take them. The aliens are grabbing them because they got a place out there north of Las Vegas on the highway that goes to the northwest. I'm trying to think of the town. It's a small town. It's got 3 warehouses. And I have a pilot I sat interviewed and have an affidavit from him that flew Hewitt Packard. I think his name was Packard. Flew him out there. Pedophile. Saudi Arabia. The head chiefs over there in Saudi Arabia. They went there to pick out their kids at the warehouse. Ask yourself why they got harems of girls, blonde-haired, blue-eyed in Saudi Arabia. Where did they come from? These kidnapped kids. This pilot told me that they had 3 warehouses out there. One of them was full of kids. He said there must have been 200 to 300 kids running around with diapers and without diapers on, anywhere from 1 year old, barely standing on their feet on up. He says about 8 or 9 years of age. He says, "Stu, I called the cops. I called everybody on this. Nobody would do a damn thing." I asked Goldis about it. He said, "Well, that's where Beatty, Nevada. Beatty, Nevada is the name of the town. 3 warehouses." So they transport kids, kidnap kids, and transport them. This is our government's agreement they made with the aliens. Now they're so intertwined with this demonic activity that it's unbelievable. And Paul, you mentioned something a few minutes ago about world leaders and all the other stuff. I asked Otis one time, I said, "Otis, if they got 6 out of 10 congressmen and senators chipped and they cloned 10 million out of Hope, Arkansas that don't have a conscience." And I said, "We got 300,000 fallen angels that were kicked out of heaven down here on earth." I said, "That means all the world leaders are possessed by these fallen angels." He goes, "No, Stu." He says, "Not all of them. Many of them are possessed, but not all of them." But he says it's their aides that are the ones possessed as well, because they're the ones giving them advice and telling them what to do. So that's how they're in control of us, the human race, and all the governments of the world they're in control of. And we've got to put a stop to it.
Paul, just back you up there, Stu. The Grin technologies have been the focus of science for at least 100 years. And when I say Grin's technology, I'm referring to genetics. That's the G. The R is robotics, and it also includes AI or artificial intelligence. The I, of course, is information technology, Internet of Things. The N we covered earlier the spring, and that's nanotechnology. And then the S is synthetic biology. So they are employing all of those sciences and technologies concurrently, which put us to the day that we're speaking here. And what I really respect about you, Stu, is that we get a lot of truth here that no one else dares speak, because you wouldn't last a day on YouTube or any other platform, because they'd ban you. But at least we still have the freedom to tell the truth. And I really respect you telling the truth on what's really going on, and of course naming names and sources, because I think it's really important. And I'm encouraging any listener, pass this on. I know it sounds way out there, but if you've been at it as long as Stu and I have, which is 48 years for me and at least 40 plus years for Stu, none of this surprises us. In fact, the breadcrumbs that they want to lead you towards are the wrong ones. But if you really want to figure out the truth, there are people that have talked, and Stu's one of them, and Phil Snyder's another one of them. Because we're not
Bill. I met Bill before his death. I met him after he had been shot. He spoke at Global Sciences in Denver, where I was doing a speech. It was alternative doctors and nurses, no longer in existence. But, you know, these were people that were healing them of all kinds of stuff. But Bill was there, and he had stitches in his chest from bullet holes. He had just had that big alien fight down there in Dulce or wherever it was. I said, oh, my God. So anyway, go ahead. Oh, didn't mean to interrupt
you. No, you didn't interrupt. Jeffrey, been expansive in our revelations and thinking. What do you have to say based on what you've heard so far?
A couple things. You know, you guys bring up things and it spurs memories of things that I've read and heard and researched in the past too. A couple of things that come to mind. You know, Stu said, I think in 1960s that they were working on weather modification even then. And there's a picture of, I believe this was in the 20s, but there's a plane that flies across the sky, and it made a perfect, looked like a waterfall, perfect shroud blocking anything on both sides. It put out a plume that was enormous. I don't know how many feet down, you know, 200-300 feet down, and it kept going across the width, and it had this big plume. Well, there was a water issue, I believe, in California. I'm not sure, maybe it was San Diego area, but back in the 20s, and they offered money for anybody that could make it rain. And there was a gentleman that came along, and he said he guaranteed he could make it rain. And I don't recall the entire story, but what was my thought on that is he did make it rain, and he was right. The problem is they couldn't stop it. So when Stu said they've been at this a while, I agree. The modification of the weather has been going a long time. And what they're capable of is pretty incredible. Stu mentioned also this alien technology, and Nikola Tesla would apparently set a notepad by his bed at night, and in the mornings he'd have inventions written on there. So, you know, you talked about this alien influence. Well, you know, demonic, whatever it might be, we assume. Pretty interesting, though, that this has been going on a while, but yet the intensity and then the magnification of how much better it's getting. I mean, some of these things that, you know, we see now, and I'll make one more comment and listen to you guys, but even on Star Trek, Gene Roddenberry, they would do seances, and he would get together with Astor, and they would channel the Nine. They'd get together with the Nine, whoever they were. But they would then get these ideas and concepts for these shows, you know, like the dilithium crystal. And these types of things that, you know, we're hearing about, crystallization of particulates in the air and how they might assimilate to a body. You breathe those in and you become a human antenna. And they could follow you around with just what you're radiating. So there's some things that you guys throw out so much, and there's so many comments that it's unbelievable. Go ahead.
Well, excellent, excellent points. Thank you, Jeffrey. I want to move from weather warfare and underground bases to vaccines and the chip, the mark of the beast. And I'm going to start off with an anecdote, personal anecdote. I have one fake hip. I've had one hip replaced, and I really need a second hip replaced. However, as part of the procedure, I was assigned to be tested for COVID. And I said, well, I'll do a PCR test, polymer chain reaction test, but I will not do the test that they stick the swab up behind your eye. And so what they said is I'm canceling my surgery. And in fact, because of that test that they wanted to do on me, and because my pharmacy had this is so ridiculous. The pharmacy is contacting me and reminding me, and I haven't had vaccines for 30, 40 years probably now, but reminding me that they have all of the vaccinations available and just schedule an appointment. And this year they've got the flu and this and that and everything else. And I'm thinking they're actually contacting me and asking me to come in and get vaccinated. And to me is so disturbing. And so many people are apparently so willing to participate in their vaccination game. And that's just another aspect of the Grins technology, where they're putting poisons in our body. And then of course, what happens next is you get Joe Biden on his recent campaign commercial, where he said everyone's gonna get tested and everyone's gonna wear a mask and everyone's gonna social distance. And it's the old tell a lie. Well, I'm not saying he's lying. I'm guessing that he actually believes in doing all of those things. But the bigger point is that they created this COVID lie. I don't know what COVID is. It could be a bot. It could be fungus. It could be protozoan. It could be bacterial. It could be 5G. It could be a combination of all of them. But one thing I'm absolutely sure of is the numbers are absolutely made up out of whole cloth, and I'm not going to participate anymore in the medical system. And I know some of the listeners, you're on medications, you have health issues, and I'm not giving anyone advice. You gotta trust your instincts, and I suggest prayer for everyone that has a relationship. But I just introduce the whole concept of vaccines for you guys to comment on. And I think the most curious correlation, or the most disturbing correlation, is the same people who believe in eugenics and population control are the same people promoting vaccines. And I am withdrawing from the healthcare system. I cannot participate. My conscience won't allow me. It's very important for me to say no at this point. And So I defer to you guys, but I've brought up the whole idea of the big lie. The big lie is that COVID is so important that we have to do everything and anything that they say. And I'm saying anything they say and ask us to do, I'm against. And so now I turn it back to you guys.
Well, I'll just make a quick comment that this is, in my opinion, COVID is a crisis creation, crisis control, or crisis solution for crisis control is what it is, to control the population and to get the chip in us. Go ahead, Jeff.
My thought, I guess, would be, if they can't isolate what this thing is, like Paul was saying, it's a moving target all the time. I've heard so many different potential things that it could be, like you mentioned. But if you can't isolate it, you can't find a way to vaccinate it. So what's the rush to do that? And why now? And it seems like, we're coming up on this election thing and there's so much at stake. Very interesting to me. And then the fact that, even Trump was mentioned getting military involved in the dissemination of the vaccination. And to me, that has other issues. So I guess I'm with you. I have nothing I want to do with this vaccination. I'm not going to take it. I know you guys aren't either. But it's certainly a weapon, and it's a tool that they're using. And it's almost like, well, here's your piece of candy. Now you can get the vaccination. Then you get to do this. So we're going to have sports again. Put enough pain into the people, withhold enough good things, remove the fun, and just get the vaccination. It'll be good for you. So that's where I'm at with it.
Well, I know that this vaccination, it's not needed. Anybody can take a five-year-old can of Lysol spray, and it says it kills coronavirus. The EPA put out here a month ago or whatever it was that Lysol spray kills the coronavirus on surfaces within 3 to 5 seconds. The alternative nurses who have sent me doctors and nurses reports, and I put some of them up on the internet, I still have a whole bunch to load, say that the two things that people are missing that are victims of this coronavirus, which is really, I believe, it's to deal with the chemtrail crud, quote unquote, because everybody over here in Kansas City had it back in first of the year. Coughing, I was too, coughing like a dog and everything else, couldn't hardly get my breath. And this is what they were claiming is happening to those COVID virus victims that they're shoving the tubes down into, and the whole bit, they can't breathe because they've been hit with the chemtrail crud, the crap that's coming out of this. Now, the nurses, the alternative nurses are telling me that the ones that are dying are lacking vitamin D and zinc. Vitamin D and zinc is what they're lacking. Then you take tonic water, which has quinine in it, which is the so-called cure for the COVID virus that President Trump took in pill form, is in Canada Dry tonic water. And what's interesting is the nursing homes in Missouri have been giving their patients for over 60 days now a shot of tonic water every day to keep from having COVID virus breakout anyplace. Now, I find that's interesting. They're giving them vitamin D. They're giving them tonic water. But they're not telling the American people to be taking that. Why not? And why aren't they telling them coronavirus is killed with Lysol spray? And why aren't they telling them we're being suffocated 20% of our oxygen by wearing a mask? Now, I'm getting tired of going in public places. I like to look at pretty faces. And I'm getting tired of seeing them covered up myself in public. I like good-looking women's faces. I like to smile at them and talk to them, and I can't even see anything but their eyeballs. This is ridiculous.
I like being around people. I like people. I love to see people smile. I love the sound of children's laughter. And their agenda is to take away all those things. And so, I'm glad you asked that question. And their focus is to misdirect always. Deception, destruction, death. That is their agenda. That is their focus. That's their new world order. That is their path to H plus, which H plus means transhumanism. And so what they have attempted to do is employ about every science, every technique, every technology from fluoride in the water, to genetically modified food and other organisms. They've saturated the sky with things beyond the metals we listed. There's polymers, fibers, which of course is plastic. And some of our listeners, I think, either have or are familiar with Morgellons or Morgellons. And that's a skin condition that results from chemtrails. And I can just add to what you said earlier. I was in 5G Miami, and it's the darndest thing. Here I am, 5G Miami, and supposedly Miami is underwater, and they've put in billions of dollars worth of water treatment to pump the water out to keep it above sea level. And I come down with altitude sickness. And for anyone that's ever been up 14, 15,000 feet, you kind of know what air hunger feels like. And it's not just air hunger. If you do it too quick, you know, if you go from sea level to 14, 15,000 feet and spend a couple days up there too quickly, you do not feel well. And it is a condition where not only are you disoriented, but it is a very confounding condition and you can't really breathe. And it takes some time to get acclimated. And I come down with altitude sickness in 5G Miami. That's all I needed to know to suggest that what they're spraying and what frequencies they're using are causing conditions that some are calling COVID-19. Now, the COVID-19 symptoms are so bizarre across the board that we can only assume they're employing bacteria, protozoan, which are really pretty close, fungus. They're using those. They're using the electrical grid. They're using frequency. I'm still not sure if I understand the difference between virus and exosome, but I can tell you that God doesn't make junk. And my best guess is that the body, if it's allowed to work as it's designed, will be just fine. But what they want to do is mess with our humanity and our nature. And what they're doing is terraforming. Some call it terraforming, but my take is it's terraforming. And I guess I could go on, but I know we're already 40-some minutes into the show, and I wanted to just change topics here and go from vaccines to what are they putting in the vaccine that is part of the greater surveillance system, the chip, so to speak. And I think that many of our listeners are aware that part of the chip is not only can they hit you, but they know where you are. They can identify you, and there are a couple of different technologies as part of the chip. One is called the microneedle array, which is a patch, and that patch then can be placed on your wrist or your arm or forehand and or inside or on your forehead, and of course it can be read by digital technology. And so they're moving very swiftly, and so the meat of our conversation today, I thought, would be about what are we looking at this September, October, and November. And I think a lot is going to happen because it's already happening. We've got the fires in California. We've got the weather warfare in the Midwest and then the East Coast. We all know that it's a mess everywhere in America, and it's a mess everywhere in the world. What do you guys see with the chip or the Mark of the Beast? Where, how far along, and where do you guys think they're at with it?
I'll let Jeff respond to that, but I want to throw one thing out. You know, they're not planting any food crop, folks, in California. The Bakersfield, the Napa Valley, none of that. They are not planting food. And it's our food basket here in the United States. And this year, they're doing everything they can to stop food from being grown there. I just wanted to throw that out. Go ahead, Jeff. Let's go back to what he was talking about.
Yeah, the whole chip thing. You know, what a way to neutralize. Now, one thing that I guess I think about that, too, you know, is it possible that something like that could be in more of an aerosol form? Could we be inhaling something, you guys, that they have sprayed or could spray that could a little bit act a little bit like maybe what the chip might do? Now, I'm sure it would have limited capacity, and you might have charging issues, but is it possible that that could be a component, something that we're inhaling?
I know there's a vaccination, supposedly, Paul. You know, from what we've gathered on this, is it has a DNA changer in it, which will make you a friggin' robot once you take it. And second, it is the mark of the beast, which is in Revelations, I think it starts at 12, but you can't buy or sell without the mark. Now, that's your credit debit. Credit debit. Phone's gone nuts. Credit debit mark. And they'll tell you, your bank card doesn't work anymore. You got to go get the chip. You got to get the credit debit chip put on you if you want to buy or sell. Isn't that the mark of the beast? But why would they put a DNA changer in it? To make you a friggin' robot, hate God as an example? I don't know about the rest of you, but the Bible says if you take that chip, you might as well just kiss it goodbye. You're going to hell.
Yeah, there's no walking back from that. You know, that's the big warning. Do not, listening individuals, ever succumb to that. No matter what the situation is, there could be no fate worse than being eternally separated from everyone you know, and utter darkness for eternity. Eternity is a long time. Once you start it, it's a long time. You just set the path to no one. I wish it from no one.
If everybody would think about how old they are and what they've gone through here on Earth, most have gone through a lot of hell. Most people. Now, they're really trying to interfere here on the phone. Most people have gone through hell. Not everybody's had a perfect life or a pleasant life. Everybody's had their ups and downs. But can you imagine being down all the time for eternity, being in the pit of hell with Satan? I've seen the bastard. He is not pleasant to look at.
They have plans for almost everything that we've ever imagined, and then some. I'm a guy that tries to be balanced and thorough and skeptical in my research. And last night, I listened to Stan Johnson of Prophecy Club fame. And Stu, you do a great job of naming names. And so I'm going to name Stan Johnson today and give you my understanding of what he was saying. And essentially, Stan has been in Bible prophecy for at least 28 years, and I think at one time he was even promoting you, and then you got anthraxed, and Dimitri Dudeman took your place, which is...
Yeah, that was in 1995. In 1995,
yeah.
I was supposed to go that 12-city tour or something, and what they do is they reproduce your videos and sell them and all and give you 25% of what they pay your airfare and hotel expense and run around these speeches. 6 weeks or a 6 week tour, but you're correct. Dimitri Dudeman took my place because I'd been anthrax and was dying of anthrax at the time in Las Vegas. I didn't die, thank God.
Well, that is a tale that sometime we may have to regale. But back to Stan Johnson. Stan says that he knew what a true man of God was. What a true prophet was when he met Dimitri Dudeman. He said, I had him in my home, I traveled with him, and he was the real deal, and has a grandson named Michael Baldea. And Michael Baldea was one of the 9 or 10 prophets that Stan tried to condense into a 2-hour program. And Stan is a fabulous promoter and a really competent public speaker. I think the complexity of his 2-hour summary overwhelmed him, as it would probably overwhelm me. But what he tried to do is give you Bible prophecy and integrate 10 other people. And our audience has heard of some of these people, and certainly Dimitri Dudeman. And by the way, there's a 90-minute Dimitri Dudeman presentation where he gives his personal testimony, and then he gives his prophecy for America. Now, another guy that was a contemporary of Dimitri Dudeman's and just passed in the last year or so, Henry Gruber, was also on the Prophecy Club, and he had a number of visions and visitations and dreams and so forth. And Dudeman and Gruber were so tightly aligned with what they saw and what prophecies they gave. And then you get into some names like Ken Peters and Shane Warren, and there are other people. And the amazing thing is the consistency of what visions and some were translated into the future and saw the tribulation and were able to report on what the tribulation looks like and so forth. But I want to be real specific. Stan basically says the prophecies seem to indicate that if we don't get in serious prayer mode and do our solemn assemblies and really connect with the host of the holies, the King of Kings, is that we can really expect the takedown of America to be full force by November. And what Stan was trying to communicate was the election is going to be contested. and things are going to get so ugly that the grid is going to go down, and the cause for the grid going down is going to be suitcase nukes. And this goes way back to the 80s and the Jesuit Russian, Jesuit Chinese, the communist infiltration subversion in America. And apparently those suitcase nukes are still out there, and they're going to be set off. And of course, they'll be blamed either on Iran or North Korea. And what will happen is you got 10, 20, maybe 50 cities, for all I know, where they really perform the equivalent of an EMP, and about anywhere where they go off, the grid goes down. And so what you have is a contested election. You got the grid going down. Once the grid goes down, of course, the banking system fails, supply chains fail. What Scan also said is that there would be runaway inflation. In other words, by November, the dollar is going to be worthless. And that is going to, of course, create its own chain reaction, which is what some of us might call the nuclear winter. Anyway, some very tough information. Where I'll give Stan credit is he put an optimistic perspective on it, and he said for those who are prepared, and Stan talked about generators, and Stan talks about EMP shields, and Stan talks about people that need to store up as much food as they can, and of course we all know that you got to be able to protect what you have. Anyway, I introduce all of that because we're already to September 9th or September 10th, or it's almost October, and we know an October surprise awaits, and then we know a contested election in November. And I'm going to turn it back to you guys, and I can comment further, but I'd like you guys' take so far.
Go ahead, Jeff.
A couple things. We did get another DHS, sounds like another warning that we could possibly expect an EMP, and that was recently at, I believe, a 9.3. Just recently. So we had one about 18 months ago, I believe, prior to that. So kind of along the lines of what you're saying, Paul, is something to watch out for. And part of my thought process goes along the lines of, okay, if certain people don't want things to go a certain way, you know, you've got to run cover for it, because if the truth exposes certain people to certain activities, pedophilia, whatnot, you know, you'd probably go to any length or great lengths to, especially if you're high enough of a figurehead, that you'll do anything. And I guess, are we to the point where there is no holds barred? I mean, what are they capable of? And I don't think there's any conscience. And I think they are capable of doing something in an event like that. And I know there is kind of a duration on some of these suitcase nukes, you know, that radiation stays a certain level of activity for a period of time, and then it diminishes over a period of time. But I'm sure it's nothing to make more of those. But anyway, I guess that's where I'm at with it is, you know, what are they capable of? And that, to me, something prior to an election, if it doesn't look like it's going to go their way, because a lot of these polls, a lot of these things that are showing up, you know, Biden might have four or five people show up to an event, and there's hardly anybody there. And Trump's got votes on, you know, and chipping over, and, you know, and all kinds of things going on with Trump rallies and all these people showing up. And Biden has so few people, but we are to believe that he is so far ahead in the polls that, you know, what is it going to take? If they don't like the way the outcome is looking, what could happen? And maybe that's part of the October surprise. I don't know.
You know, I've heard something about this EMP thing, and recently, that they mentioned it, what you mentioned, Jeff, here a few days ago. Now, I'm aware of EMPs. If you shoot one off or a nuke goes off, you got a meltdown, folks. Now, think about this. It's electronics. That's going to be cell phones. That's going to be TVs. That's going to be computers. It's going to be your car. You're blowing in your car. It's going to be, instead of a set of points, which used to be in distributors. Now there's, you know, electronics. That's all going to melt down because Oldies told me if they ever shot an EMP off, he says, forget about your car. You're not going to be driving it. Hope that you can find a computer brain that didn't get hit. Hope that you can find in an auto parts the part that used to be your points. I forgot what they call it in the distributor. It's going to take it all out. So what's that going to do? Send us back to the friggin' Stone Age?
That was Stan's point, and that was what Stan said, that that's what the people who he thinks are reliable, they're saying we're going back to the 1700s. And for those of us that can prepare and be prepared, generators and shields are one strategy.
Now, I might add to something. I told a group of Christians that invited me when I first came back in, so they got to know them, a couple people. They went to church where my parents went, and I got to know them. And the guy turned out to be a pastor at another place. So he had invited me to a singles retreat type deal. It was a night that, you know, get out there and talk to other people. I chatted with several of them and told them the story of Dimitri Duderman and Henry Gruber based on the videos I had seen and had studied because I, you know, Dimitri had a lot of very interesting information. One of the things was I was told by someone that was at the meeting, sat at the table over there in Ohio or someplace where Dimitri and Henry Gruber were together and sat down at the table. And we're talking. Their vision's prophecy was almost identical, straight across the board, except for one thing. Henry Gruber said what he saw was that the crap would hit the fan shortly after all of America was dotted with these towers. He saw these towers all across America in his vision. Then all hell was going to break loose. What's out there now? What are they saying? They're going to have 5G totally up and running, Boost Mobile and all of them, and they're going to have all this. Everything's going to be running on 5G by December the 12th is their goal. Was this what he was talking about? Now, this group of Christians, the reason I brought it up is one of them, she was full of the Holy Spirit, believe me, and she's a prayer warrior. She told me, she said, Stu, she says, this fits in with a dream I had one time. She says, I was out in the Northwest doing something about business or something, and she says, I got stuck. None of the airplanes would fly. None of the cars would drive. The only thing that I was walking, she says, down I-80 with all these people coming back to the Midwest. They were on foot all together, people just in masses. Cars off on the side of the roads and everything. She said she saw this in her vision, in her dream. She said, I couldn't understand why. She said, these old jalopies, people would come screaming up and saying, oh, you know, for $150, you can have a ride, sit on the hood, you know, all this other stuff. The old jalopies were running because the EMPs didn't take them out because they have points in them and a coil instead of a computer brain. Now, she saw this in her dream. She saw it in her dream. She said, Stu, do you think it could be part of that? I said, I don't know. But she saw this, envisioned herself walking down I-80, coming out of the Northwest, trying to get to the Midwest. So a lot of people have seen a lot of things, Paul and Jack. I don't know.
A lot of powerful testimonies. What happens in the cities specifically when the grid goes down is you can pretty much be assured that their goal is to wall people off or fence people in or create uncivil war in the cities first, and when there is not electricity and people don't have food, you really reduce people to their base nature, which is ugliness. It's the sin code. It's the error code. It's the missing the mark. But you also don't have running water then. You don't have sanitation. And they've made plans for all of this. And so I think maybe the people walking along I-80 getting a ride on the hood of a jalopy are going to be the most blessed people there are. I do think what's interesting on Henry Gruber is that in Henry Gruber, they always ask him, Henry, why don't you write a book? And Henry was a very self-effacing guy. And he said, well, you know what? Because I could be wrong. He never wanted to be labeled as a prophet. And what I found to be so still curious or inexplicable is that he included in a manuscript George Washington's vision for America. And that was the last part of his manuscript. And, you know, you can still, I think, get it through Joyful Sounds Ministry. That was what Henry was a prayer walker. And he took down a lot of high places. He did a lot of spiritual warfare. And he and Tim Bentz and some others have been really well known for their prayer walking. But George Washington's vision for America suggests that God isn't done with America, that not only are some of us going to survive what is to come in the near future, but there will be a remnant. And many or some will go to Petra, which is outside of Jerusalem. It's in Israel. It's a very beautiful, protected area. Some know it as the Battle of Megiddo, and about 7 or 8 years takes place there, also known as Armageddon. But I guess back to George Washington. Has anyone read that vision? And Henry Gruber seemed to think it was legitimate and included it in his manuscript. Either of you two guys familiar with George Washington's vision for America?
I have it on my website. I don't know where it's at. I don't know whether I still have it up there, but I will get it and put it up. Go ahead. Yeah.
No, I don't either. I've heard about it, but I have not read it.
Well, there's a lot that we could go with, but I think given that we're already at an hour, what are you guys' concluding thoughts on today's show? We can get listener feedback and pick up on any topic that anybody wants to hear more about. But where I wanted to go, or at least get to, was the September, October, November time frame, what maybe we can expect. And it sounds like none of us are going to be surprised if the election is contested, if it then escalates the uncivil war and the divisions in America, and that will also trigger economic collapse and the fall of the dollar, which would then play into the globalist currency reset. Now, I can talk like I think all of those things are going to happen, and that seems to indicate to me that all of this testing, vaccination is going to wait until possibly, beyond December, January. You guys have an opinion on that?
Go ahead, Jeff.
No, not per se. I guess I like the fact that, you know, you guys bring me up the reality of the situation that we're all faced with, because it is a reality. But, you know, because it's such a spiritual battle and such a spiritual warfare that we're in the midst of, like you said, Paul, with the prayer and fasting, I think that's an urgency that, you know, we might stay at the end of God's judgment. But, you know, every country that's turned God away, and as Israel was an example, how many times they turned God away, there was always a discipline. There was always somebody sent into chastise his people. So to think that we're not going to have that happen is ridiculous. I mean, we're going to see something. And, you know, even the rulers who are appointed, obviously could be those that are appointed for this day and this time, just like Pharaoh was, for a time of judgment upon us. And we may not like the rulers we're getting. We may be kicking the goats. But what I'm getting at is the balance of, you know, presenting, like you both are so good at presenting reality, also the hope. And I think that's the side that I like hearing about. Are you there?
Yeah, we are
here.
That's your very piercing sound. I didn't know if that was something. But so the beauty of the hope, and bent knees and wore out knee pads kind of thing, is I think where we got to be. And if we can get a reprieve, or we can get some good direction or good guidance from the hand of God's mercy, boy, I'm all ears and all welcome to that. So anyway.
Well, you know, prayer is the key, though. It's coming down to that, the power of the prayer and knowing who Jesus Christ is, because if you don't, you're not going to have that power. You're going to reject it. I tell you, once you come to know Christ, it's hard to turn himself away from him. It'd be very, very hard. It'd take more than a beast mark on me.
Mm-hmm.
But I got that attitude, the David and Goliath attitude. We are the warriors at this time, and we're going to have to probably put the boys up and put an end to the boys and the girls. That's my opinion. And I believe in prayer. I believe in warring angels. I believe in angels of protection. And I know that when I'm in the mode all the time, praying daily, I get attacked every turn. We talked about this earlier, Paul. It's the devil constantly coming back at you, because he knows what you're doing. And expect it. Expect the heat. You're going to be in the kitchen cooking, and the flames are going. You better know what you're doing. That's all I can say.
You make a great point, Stu, because the blowback from what we do here, when we go on the air, when we go into prayer mode, there is a spiritual battle waging in the unseen realm, and it's affecting us in the physical. And then, of course, what happens in the physical also happens in the unseen realm. And actually, just to kind of give people perspective, when God created, he used words, his voice, and that's vibration. Vibration is frequency. And we have a spectrum that we exist in. The earth has a resonance that it has had, that they're attempting to change. And so I think what all of us, of course, need to do is certainly be humbled, and certainly knock, seek, find, serve, obey, because that's what it's going to take for all of us to make it, to endure, basically. And of course, the promise of enduring is eternity. And it's only going to be possible through a relationship with Jesus Christ.
That's very true. Got to have a relationship. Anyway, either one of you want to lead us in prayer? Have we covered all the bases we need to cover today, Paul?
I think we have. I'll just start, and then you guys can add. Heavenly Father, thank you for this opportunity. Thank you for our listeners. Please guide us and protect us. For those of us that are struggling with any issue, please bestow your spirit and your wisdom and your kindness and your knowledge how we best move forward. We ask that you protect us, that you give us all of the skills, all of the faith that we need to either witness and help others, or to help ourselves and to do your will. We ask all of those things in Jesus' name, by the blood of Jesus.
And Father, I'd come for you in the name of Jesus, and by your blood and by your stripes, Father, you, my Lord and Savior. And I'm in agreement with Paul, Father. I'm also asking, Father, because of Paul's hip situation, I'm asking for you to do a miraculous healing on him. It's your will, Father. All I can do is ask, but it be your will. I'd ask for that to be done if possible. And Father, I'd ask for this country to be be healed, to be saved, to understand who you are and set this destruction that they're intended on doing to this planet and this mass murder that they plan on doing. I'd ask for you to put a halt to it, Father. I'd ask for warring angels to go after the enemy, Father. Send them after and destroy them. Destroy the enemy. Those that are salvageable, Father, bring them to salvation. They're in public offices. And if they're unsalvageable, Father, take them off my planet. Send the warring angels out. Get rid of them, Father. Send them where their destination is, the pit of hell. Do it on an early basis so they can't destroy this planet. I'd ask for that to be done. I ask for angels of protection around Jeff, myself, around Paul, and all the others that are out here putting the truth out, Father. I'd ask for you to intervene and put halts to what they're doing, kicking people off of YouTube, kicking them off this platform, kicking them off that platform where they don't have a voice. I'd ask, Father, those that are in these churches, you wake them up. You shake them up. You wake up the Holy Spirit and knock the heads off these churches and bring them back to salvation where they belong, Father. I ask for that to be done. I ask for miracles to go out today, mass miracles. But we have never seen of those listeners who need help, Father. Everyone needs something right now. They're either physically, they're emotionally, they're financial, strapped. People are hurting all over. Your people, Father, I'd ask for you to bless your people. I'd ask for that to be done in your holy name, Father. Let it be your will. But I'm asking once again, Father, to send warring angels in on Washington, D.C., on every congressman, senator, in states, as well as the U.S. government. I ask for every governor, every city mayor, Father, that you deal with them, that are part of this terrorist game that they're doing with this COVID and with Black Lives Matter and Antifa. I'd ask for you to send your warring angels at those Black Lives Matter people and after Antifa, both, Father. Drive them out of those cities that they're occupying and they're burning and they're destroying them. Send your warring angels after them, Father, and drop them on the ground right on the spot. I'd ask for that to be done as well. And, Father, I come before you in the name of Jesus and by your blood, Father, by your stripes, you, Father, my Savior, and I ask for these things to be done in your holy name. Amen.
Heavenly Lord and Savior, thank you so much for just the boldness and the conviction. My goodness, wow. The prayer of these men, you know, the prayer of a righteous man availeth much. So we ask, Father, that if these prayers would be heard as they are heard, and they would be answered, and we would see results from these men of warriors of prayer. Thank you, God, that you do extend mercy to us. We are a disgustable people at times, but yet forgiveness is available, and that is through your Son, Christ. And we bathe in the blood of your Son, and that is the only redemption we can have is through him. So praise you for this day, for this hour, and we are in a spiritual battle, and it's not time to be timid. And we are equipped with weapons of the Spirit that we need to use. And now is the time to use them. They won't do any good for us in the grave. So again, we thank you. I thank you for the time with these gentlemen and for what they contribute and just their hearts. And they are out there doing it. And protect them, as Stu mentioned. Put a hedge of protection around all of us. And we pray for the listeners who are out there that are calling upon you, and they need answers to prayer as well, Lord. And please be merciful to this hour to all those people who are listening and who need help, as many of us do. So, again, we ask this in your name. Amen.
Amen. Amen. Well, gentlemen, any last word?
We'll be back on. We want listener feedback, and I think listeners know how to get hold of you, Stu. And so we'll cover any topic. We'll pray for anybody that asks, and we so appreciate the listeners and any help that you give Stu, because he's running the website. He's also doing these programs, and he needs your help and support.
I think one time,
I was going to say, I know one time we got cut off on trying to how do they how do they get funds to Stu's ministry or to his website?
Then come to stuweb.com, and there's a PayPal button up there if anybody wants to contribute. And believe me, folks, very few people have supported me, and it seems the repeated ones have kept me alive in recent months. I was supposed to move from where I'm at, which would cut my expenses by half, house expenses. What I have in the way of Social Security disability coming in barely meets and does not meet, barely meets a house payment, insurance payment, phone payment. It doesn't cover food or anything else. And I'm way over that. It doesn't cover utilities. I'm trying to get out of here. I'm being yin-yanged around for the past since June, when I was told I'd probably be moving in to something in the price range that I could afford, and a Section 8, folks. And I'm being yanked around. I've had to go to the Inspector General's office, the Department of HUD, where I once was, and caused the 89 HUD scandal. I've had to go back to that to possibly yank a Section 8 off this unit and place it elsewhere. So I'd ask everybody to pray about that and get it done, because I want to move out of here. I cannot afford to be here. With that said, Paul, you got anything to say? Or Jeff?
Yeah. Thank you, Stu. I would also encourage people just to spend a couple hours on your website. I have to admit that, I do it maybe as often as once a week, and I just got blown away recently with just your recent posts. And very sobering, you know what? It's good for me to be outraged, but it's even more important for me to be knowledgeable. And Stu, if your website goes down, if these programs stop, then we all go in the dark. And so I want to keep you going. I want to keep us going, and I want to keep the listeners in our prayers. And so thanks to everyone, and we'll look forward to the next show.
We'll do it again sometime within this week. Thank you, Jeff. Thank you, Professor Paul. I appreciate it, both of you. And you two have a good evening.
All right. Take care. Bye. Bye.